And I just want to welcome everybody. It's been too long since we received Holy Communion, and what are you going to do? But anyway, God bless you, and I hope that the Holy Spirit continues to work with this congregation, and we continue to grow, especially in word and sacrament. I guess for the opening hymn is Gail, 30. Oh, that I had 1,000 voices. Okay, very good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever, world without end. Amen. Lord be with you. O God, who has prepared for them that love thee such good things as pass man's understanding, pour into our hearts such love toward thee that we, loving thee above all things, may obtain the promises which exceed all that we can ever desire. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. And please be seated. A reading from Luther's Large Catechism. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. The same can be said of those merchants, workmen, and day laborers who act high-handedly, seemingly unable to figure out enough ways to overcharge the people, and who yet are careless and unreliable in their work. These are all much worse than those sneak thieves against whom one can at least install locks and bolts or can deal with them when they are caught in such a way, in such a manner, that they do not steal again. But no one can guard himself against those others. No one as much as desires to give them a hard look or accuse them of a single theft. One would 10 times rather lose money out of the wallet. For these persons are my neighbors, my good friends, my own servants, from each one of whom I expect good treatment, and yet they are the first to defraud me. Similarly, dishonest practices are in such full force, also in the markets and in ordinary business places. There people openly cheat each other with defective merchandise, dishonest measure, false weights, bad coins, and one person takes advantage of the other by means of trickery, sharp practices, and underhanded dealings. Or again, one person swindles another in trade and deliberately exploits, fleeces, and victimizes him. Who can tell or imagine all that goes on? Thievery is, in short, the most common craft and the largest trade union on earth. When mankind is analyzed at all its levels, it turns out to be simply one great wide warehouse full of super thieves. Therefore, these men are called swivel chair swindlers, land grabbers, and highway robbers. Far from being cookie jar or cash box sneak thieves, they sit in office chairs and pass for good fellows and honorable, decent citizens, and yet under a cover of a fine show of legality, they engage in robbery and theft. Yes, here one might well keep quiet about individual petty thieves if one could only get at the great, powerful super thieves who are associated with the influential and the great, and who daily plunder and not merely a city or two, but the entire country. Ah, what would then become of their chief, the high protector of all thieves, the Holy See at Rome, together with all of its following, which by thievery has taken over the treasury of the world and holds them to this very day. So far, the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Jeremiah, chapter 16. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that broughteth up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies and vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, and I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. So far. This morning's epistle, 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, be ye all one of mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful and courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for ailing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life shall see good days, and let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good things, and let him seek peace and eschew it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, and neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So far the epistle lesson. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. This morning's Gospel is the basis for my sermon, St. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed unto him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And then he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for the draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, you know, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing, but nevertheless, at your word I will let the net down. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in another ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. And when they had brought their ships back to the land, they forsook all, and they followed Jesus. So far the Holy Gospel. Confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our sermon hymn, I Know My Faith Is Founded. Please be seated.
I need to know, are we using the hymnal? Because in here, there's only the last half of the hymn.
Okay, what number is the hymnal?
381.
Okay, by the end of this month, we believe that we can be able to use the hymnals. As a matter of fact, the the virus bug doesn't live that long. So let's, what number?
381.
381. Turn to page, hymn 381, please. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when Simon saw this, he fell down at Christ's feet and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." So far, please be seated. The story begins one morning on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus steps into Simon Peter's boat. He sits down. And he begins to preach to the people who were standing at the, along the shore. But this is nothing unusual. After all, Jesus was a teacher from Galilee, and the people expected him to teach and to preach. But what was unusual was his instructions to Peter after the sermon, put out into the deep water for your next catch. And this at a time when no intelligent fisherman would ever think of going fishing, especially after a night of total failure. But they do it. They do it. And the impossible becomes a reality. The nets become so full they begin to tear. The boats are so overloaded that they are threatened with sinking. Now this is a miracle, but it is also more than a miracle. It is more than God breaking through the laws of nature. This is a happening that runs counter to all explanation by signifying God's presence. It's a sign that points beyond itself, but points to a new reality for all those who have eyes to see. In our story, it is Peter whose eyes are suddenly opened. And yes, he had seen and known Jesus before this amazing day, because he had heard Jesus preach, he had witnessed some of his miracles. As a matter of fact, he had witnessed a miracle of his own mother-in-law who was healed by Christ, and he finally made a decision to follow Jesus. Yet we can say, with all honesty, that he had never really known Jesus until this surprising morning. But now he does see him, and it makes a tremendous impact and changes his entire life. Before the miracle, Peter calls Jesus Master. But now, only one word is adequate, and that word is Lord. In this change, we discover an entirely new dimension of our Lord's miracles. He breaks through nature, not to surprise, not to amaze, but to change people. Here we have the really important part of this biblical record. Jesus catches a man, which will be one of many. And what he did here in this story, he still does today. He moves into people's lives, he stirs them, he arouses them, but always with the purpose to bring them to say, "My Lord and my God." Who is this God at work in our story? Who is this God that is at work among us today? Well, he's more than a God of miracles. He's a God of creation. He stands in the world which he created, yet he stands apart from it, beyond it, above it. He is present in our present age, and yet he existed before all time, before all worlds. He is a God of all creation. He is a God of all creatures. He is the Lord of wind and wave, and he is the God of fish and men. When he breaks through nature, as he does in this morning's gospel, he is setting aside the laws of nature not to astound an audience, but he is God at work in order to save people. The fact that the miracle occurred, no one doubts. How it happened, well, that's God's secret. All the miracles are signs of the presence of the eternal God in our world. Demonstrations of his power, his promise to make all things new. You see, we are not failed creatures of dust locked into hopeless forms and patterns. Eternity is written into our souls, and we have a helper, a savior, a redeemer who is the eternal creator God. This is eternal God, who must be seen in this miracle of fish and men. You see, Peter does not really stand in amazement at this miracle of fish. That's not what amazed Peter. A greater miracle has taken place within himself, and he is overwhelmed by the power of the eternal God. And this miracle drives Peter to his knees. And in doing so, he is expressing the two great discoveries of his life. He knows who he is. He's a sinful man. But he knows who Jesus Christ is, the eternal God. And in this new understanding, there is only one thing for Peter to say, and that is, "Depart from me, because I am a sinful man." Peter knows that sin and holiness cannot exist side by side. Peter is sure that the eternal God of all creation, the holy and righteous God, cannot stand to be in the presence of fragile and sinful creatures. But this is exactly where Peter was wrong, because Christ came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And notice here that Jesus does not pronounce a judgment on Peter. He doesn't even ask for a confession of sins. He simply offers grace. Grace in these words: "Do not be afraid." You see, Jesus rejects the old principle that only the good deserve grace. He offers righteousness to a man who is not righteous and who knows it. Jesus has, in fact, placed his hand on Peter's life, and without standing in judgment over him, he has forgiven him of all things, and he's called him to be a servant, a co-worker with him. Peter is now a forgiven man. Peter now is a partner in God's business. Our Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the God of all creation. And yes, he is the Lord of fish and men. And there is immense hope and promise for us in this morning's Word of God, because our lives, too, are times that they seem as empty as Peter's nets. There are times when we feel fear and uncertainty. Doors never seem to open. Walls seem to grow higher. Answers, well, they never arrive. And it is into this emptiness that Jesus Christ comes to give us fullness, to give us meaning and to brighten our tomorrows, because he is the Lord of all worlds, including yours and mine. Yes, our lives have also been touched by the hand of God. This was originally back in holy baptism, and our lives are still touched by word and sacrament. The Lord has shown us empty nets that were filled, empty lives that were filled. Should not the Lord of fish and men do the same for us? Amen.
Amen.
And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen. Seated. And let us pray for our communicants. Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
and Savior Jesus Christ, that was given to the death for all of our sins. Taking drink, this is the true blood of Christ, the very blood which shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Savior Jesus Christ, that was given to death for all of our sins. Take a drink, this is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
and keep you in your baptismal grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Take and eat. shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may his body, blood, strength, and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Thank you.
And we beseech thee that of thy mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same faith toward thee and the perfect love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Well, it just dawned on me. You know, Confession of Lutherans is not going to be here this month, but it is going to be at Mission of the Cross on the 20th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I meant to see that, too. They're going to handle it for next month. I told them that, you know, we're not trying to get out of it, and they realize that. That after next month, we'll be back here, hopefully. But we want to continue to host it because we enjoy the studies. Anything else? Nothing. Okay, God bless you. God bless you. Depart in peace.